Section 7. Papias of Hierapolis. According to Irenaeus, who most likely wrote between 180 and 200 AD, Papias of Hierapolis was a companion of Polycarp and wrote when he was an old man. The passage in Irenaeus survives only in Latin translation and in Greek quotation in Eusebius, but in both it is stated that he, quote, bore witness in writing as an old man, end quote. This is sometimes translated as, quote, a man of old, end quote. That is, of a long time ago. But that is the least likely intended meaning here. First, Irenaeus would just say he wrote long ago, not that he was an old man, a phrase that more readily indicates the man himself was old, not his writings. And secondly, a friend of Polycarp's would more likely be a contemporary of Polycarp, and thus have lived a generation before Irenaeus, as Polycarp did. Hardly ancient times. According to Eusebius, Polycarp died in the 160s AD, at the age of 86, having been a Christian all his life. If we assume this is all true, then Polycarp would have been an elder in the church since the 130s, and Papias himself would have been an old man sometime between then and the 160s. Thus, his one known book, Explanations of the Stories of the Lord in 5 volumes, is usually and most plausibly dated between 130 and 150 AD. Some scholars really want Papias to have written earlier, perhaps in the reign of Trajan, for example, around 110 to 115 AD. But if that were so, as we shall see, this would make his testimony worse for historicity, as it would mean the loss of knowledge about Jesus and the growth of absurd fictions about him was even earlier and more rapid, and that even at that early date no one knew any correct information about the Gospels or how they came to be written. In any case, we do not have his book. We only have various brief quotations from and descriptions of it, mainly in Irenaeus and Eusebius, in which Papias himself says he lived when none of the original apostles still did, but contemporary with some men who claimed to have known them, a claim that was not necessarily true. From the quotations we have, we can tell Papias was a very gullible fellow, so much so that even Eusebius called him, quote, a man of very little intelligence, end quote. Papias also said he rejected what books said and instead relied only on hearsay because he considered that to be more reliable. He was thus clearly the least reliable sort of source we could possibly want. Yet apart from the author of Acts, Papias is the earliest historian of early Christianity that we have, writing 100 years after the religion began. As expected, the things he tells us are ridiculous. For instance, one excerpt we have from the 4th volume of Papias's book, as quoted by Apollinaris of Laodicea in the 4th century, tells us this story about Judas. Quote, his body bloated to such an extent that, even where a wagon passes with ease, he was not able to pass. No, not even his bloated head by itself could do so. His eyelids, for example, swelled to such dimensions, they say, that neither could he himself see the light at all, nor could his eyes be detected even by a physician's instrument. So deep had they sunk below the surface. His genitals, too, grew bigger and more disgusting than all that is horrid, and to his shame, out of them oozed pus and worms from all throughout his body whenever he relieved himself. After suffering an agony of pain and punishment, he finally went, as they say, to his own place, and owing to the stench, the ground has been deserted and uninhabited until now. In fact, even to the present day, no one can pass that place without holding one's nose, so abundant was the discharge from his body, and so far over the ground did it spread. End quote. Papias also said Jesus promised us vast clusters of gigantic grapes and other nonsense. Clearly the legends and fabricated sayings had gotten out of hand by the time Papias wrote, and he just believed whatever he chanced to hear. This is illustrative of the state of Christian knowledge about Jesus by mid-second century, and the state of Christian fabrications about Jesus as well. Does Papias come anywhere near to telling us anything useful? Not really. He says Mark was Peter's secretary and faithfully recorded his teachings, producing the gospel according to Mark. But that can't be true, because Peter was a Torah-observant Christian, and Mark's gospel advocates against that and in favor of Pauline Christianity. That Paul and Peter were at odds on this point is clear throughout Galatians 2, as we noted in Element 20. Mark's gospel also evinces possibly a poor understanding of the geography of Palestine. For example, Mark 7 verse 31 has Jesus simultaneously traveling north and south, which also makes no sense if he was faithfully recording the teachings of Peter. That Mark composed his gospel in Greek also makes less sense on that account, as Peter would more likely have preached in Hebrew or Aramaic and expected his gospel to be recorded likewise. Unless Peter preached only to Greek-speaking diaspora Jews, but even then, his gospel would not need to explain basic Jewish legal principles to its readers, as we see Mark does in Mark 7 verses 3 to 4. Papias then says Matthew was composed in Hebrew and then translated various times into Greek, but that also can't be true, because Matthew copies extensively from Mark's Greek, frequently verbatim, and thus can't possibly have composed in Hebrew. And if Matthew employed a Q source for the remaining material shared with Luke, he also copied that verbatim in Greek, because Luke then also copied from Q and often shows identical wording, so Q itself or the version they employed must have been in Greek. It's clear that Papias had no idea what he was talking about and had no reliable sources of information about the first century of Christianity. Correct information about that century of the church had evidently become completely lost by his time. It therefore can't likely have survived after his time either, which means everything claimed about that period after this point is most likely fabricated. It is also curious that these five volumes of Papias were not preserved by medieval Christians. Such an early and extensive collection of contemporary lore about Jesus and the Gospels and Apostles as this should have been cherished. What else must it have said to so offend medieval Christians that they threw the whole thing away? We'll never really know. What we can say is that, from what we do know, nothing in Papias supports the historicity of Jesus. It confirms only that in the second century, many Christians were assuming the historicity of Jesus and were relying on written gospels for that and felt at liberty to invent any stories about him that suited them, while some were even claiming to have known someone who knew Jesus to lend authority to whatever they invented about him. That these claims were false should be obvious, because we just saw the stories they were telling were unbelievable. In the same fashion, some were also claiming to have known those who had been the very people resurrected by Jesus, just as some Jews claimed to be descendants of those resurrected in Ezekiel 37, verses 1 to 14, even while other, more reasonable Jews insisted that that story was just an allegory and never really happened. Philip of Sidae reports that Papias had said, quote, "those resurrected by Christ from the dead lived until Hadrian," end quote, which was also claimed by Quadratus, so possibly Philip has confused them. Such wild legends are fully expected on the Jesus myth theory, and perhaps no less expected on historicity, so Papias has no effect on the consequent probability of either.